My story started tamely enough. About 25 years ago, I wrote a murder mystery novel that started out on the Skagit River on an eagle watching trip and quickly came back to Tacoma, where most of the action took place. A friend offered to have a Pierce County sheriff's detective read it for me. And when I met with the detective to discuss it, he laughed a lot. And that hurt my feelings because the book wasn't supposed to be funny. But he told me that I had a lot to learn about police procedure. So after I licked my wounds, I registered for the Tacoma Citizens Police Academy. And that took place over several nights. And then I wrote an article about it for the News Tribune. So my friend then arranged a ride with the Pierce County Sheriff's Deputy and another ride with the State Patrol, and I was on my way. I peddled a column, a monthly column called Along for the Ride, to a couple of newspapers, and I continued riding with different police agencies. Over the next few years, I rode with 18 different departments, including some in Santa Fe, in St. Paul, in Salt Lake City, ones here like the Fish and Game Department, and Immigration and Naturalization. And then I did a lot of repeat ride-alongs with a number of local agencies. So all of this was pretty exciting, and I was selling my column, and it was great fun. So I applied as a journalist to take the Sheriff's Department Academy for Reserve Deputies. This is something where you study for 6 months to actually become a volunteer Pierce County deputy. But I was doing it as a journalist, I hoped. Well, the all-male reserves voted, and they said they didn't want me or any journalist. And I thought the subtext was they didn't want any females. But the undersheriff said I was in the class and they'd better get used to it. So I did everything that the other would-be deputies did. I took the lie detector test. I passed the background check. I filled out innumerable papers, detailed forms, and I worked out at the Y to get fit for it. And so all of this was going on, and I got in the class. Now, reserve deputies are volunteers, and you have to buy all your own equipment. You have to buy your handcuffs, your uniform, your body armor, and your gun. And I bought a Glock 9mm pistol. I was supposed to focus on the gun sight when I was shooting, and I couldn't see the gun sight because I had bifocals, and they didn't fit for the gun sight. So I had to take the gun into the eye doctor, who freaked out. and he had to give me trifocals with the middle thing set so that I could see the gun sight. So there I was. And what happened is I've always been good at book learning. So I did great at the book part. I aced that part of it, but I've always done very badly at physical things. So learning to drive like a cop, learning the defensive tactics, which among other things is throwing people down and handcuffing them, and learning to shoot were all difficult for me. I had to get help with all of these. And in fact, I almost flunked out because of lousy parallel parking. And I still can't parallel park, but I managed to become a deputy anyway. But the husband of a friend of mine, and he's actually here tonight, the friend and the husband are here tonight, he took me out to the Sportsman's Club and taught me how to shoot. And so by the time I had to qualify on the gun, I could actually get most of my shots somewhere near the center of the body of the man-shaped target. So that was all good. And, you know, up until then, I hadn't touched a gun for probably since I was 10 years old or so when my brothers got BB guns. So I knew nothing about that stuff. But I graduated third in the class. And I was doing it as a journalist. I wasn't going to become a deputy until the lieutenant said, why don't you take the field training? Well, what that entailed was getting commissioned as a law enforcement officer and for the next year working with four different experienced officers who would be my field trainers. And I thought, why not? So I did it. I was 50 years old, I was somewhat fat, and I was female. And the other deputies didn't really want me there. I was older than almost all of the deputies, the regulars and the reserves. I was the only female reserve in the county, and the guys really weren't sure I could back them up properly when we were out there on the street. And this is serious stuff, you know, so they were concerned about me. Well, it's a funny thing because I had never done anything like this in my life. I was an English major. And at the time I started, at the time I wrote the book, I was working as a fundraiser for the Community Foundation. And then by the time I was actually being a reserve deputy, I was a consultant to a number of different charities. And it was kind of interesting when I encountered some of the donors to those charities and some of the staff members when I was out there in uniform, and they'd look at me really kind of funny. And luckily, I didn't have to hand out tickets to any of them. That would have been quite awkward, especially if it was for donors. But anyway, I just had never done anything like this. My family and friends thought I was crazy. And there were times when I thought so, too. But anyway, I became a deputy. And the funny thing was, I had been afraid of cops most of my life. When I was in third grade, some DeKalb County, Georgia deputies came into my classroom and hauled a friend and me out of the classroom and down to the principal's office and accused us of breaking and entering and told us what happened to felony criminals like us. And we had indeed broken into a house. We thought it was sort of a magic house, a deserted place in the woods. And we broke in, and we took some things home, and we showed them to his parents. And his parents thought it would teach us a better lesson if the deputies got involved. And, of course, we had to pay for the broken window, and we had to take back the stolen items and all that. But sure enough, the deputies impressed me quite a bit. They scared me half to death. And so I was afraid of cops. And then when I was 16 years old, I got stopped for speeding while I was taking a group of teenagers to a church function. And I was sentenced to traffic court. So when I applied for an after-school job a little bit later, I told the HR director that I had a police record. And luckily, he asked me a few questions, and he said, a speeding ticket is not a police record. If he hadn't told me that, I might still think I had a police record. And then when I was in college, I smoked the one doobie I smoked in college. And I was sure the cops were going to break in, break the door down, arrest my friends and me, haul us off to jail. I would be in jail for a number of years, in prison for a number of years, and my life would be ruined. So that sort of messed up my pot experience. But then here I was. And all of a sudden, I was a commissioned law enforcement officer. Well, by this time, with all those ride-alongs, I had an idea that the cops weren't what I'd thought they were necessarily, and that there were a lot of good cops. I'd ridden with a lot of them, and there were some bad ones. The good ones could go into a really volatile situation and defuse it. The bad ones could go in and escalate it until you're throwing handcuffs on everybody and taking them off to jail. But there were more good ones than bad ones that I'd worked with. So here I was, hoping that I would be one of the good ones. And it was scary. I mean, I now have a lot of power. Cops have a lot of power. They can help you a lot, or they can ruin your lives. And so here I was with deadly force available to me. I had my gun. I had a police car that I could run over people with. I could, And I was concerned about, when it came to life and death matters, could I handle it? Especially with the gun. So my first night was okay. I didn't say or do anything dumb when I was on patrol. There was one problem. There weren't enough holders for the police radios we had to carry. And so I was told to stick mine in the back pocket of my uniform. And I did, and that worked out fine until it fell in the toilet at the jail. Well, the next week there were enough holders for all the radios, so that was good. I did something good there, but the second night on patrol was very different. Somebody dead in Tillicum over near Fort Lewis, and fled to a nearby enclave of expensive homes, ditched his car in one of the driveways, and ran on foot down toward American Lake. And our car was dispatched along with a whole lot of other cars to set up a perimeter and try to hold him in and catch him. Well, my field training officer and I drove down to the end of Thorn Lane, to the dead end, and since he knew the area, he went down toward American Lake, and he left me with the car. And I'm standing there next to the car. I'm all alone. We're at the dead end. And I'm standing next to the car with one hand over my unsnapped holster and the other one on the handle of the spotlight. And if the bad guy came up, I was to hold him at gunpoint and call for backup. Well, this is a little scary. It's my second night on duty, and I'm there all alone. I can see the lights of other cars around off in the distance, but I'm there all alone. And all these things start running through my head. If he comes up and doesn't want to be held at gunpoint, then I'm going to have to shoot him. And we're taught to shoot at body mass, not at arms or legs. You know, you shoot at the biggest part. And if I manage to actually hit him, I'm probably going to kill him. And besides that, we're taught to shoot until we until the situation is no longer dangerous. So, you know, I'll have to keep shooting at him. And so that's sort of a bad thing to think about. And then I was thinking, what if it's not the bad guy? What if it's somebody else and I shoot somebody else who wasn't even involved in this, or maybe even one of the other deputies, or, you know, so all these things are running through my head, and it's not a good time to be thinking about, did I do the right thing getting commissioned? So there I was, and then it was real quiet. The sirens had all been turned off, and, you know, after you've been hearing the sirens, the quiet seems a lot quieter than it was. And then the bushes started rustling over on the lakeside of the street. And they rustled even louder, and I shined the spotlight over there. And this cat, the ugliest cat I'd ever seen, came rushing out of the bushes, and it was rushing straight at me. And as it came closer, I realized it wasn't a cat, it was a possum. And so here's this possum rushing at me, and I knew a little bit about wildlife, and I knew that most wild animals do not rush humans unless they have rabies. And so I knew this possum had rabies, and I remembered what happened, what Pa did in Old Yeller, and what Atticus did in To Kill a Mockingbird, and I was going to have to shoot this possum. And I love animals. I didn't want to shoot this possum. And I wasn't that good a shot anyway, and could I even hit a small moving target? So, I mean, this is getting even worse than when I was thinking about the bad guy coming up. And if I do shoot for any reason, they're going to put me through psychological evaluation, and they're going to decide whether I'm fit to be out there with a gun, and, you know, it's going to be really tough. And the worst of all, I will never live down shooting a possum. So I had pulled my gun slightly out of the holster, trying to figure out what to do, and I had the spotlight shine right on that possum, and I kept shining on it, and he was rushing straight at me, and his mouth is wide open, and, you know, possums have more teeth than any other mammal, and his mouth is wide open, and he's hissing at me, and those teeth, just a huge number of teeth, they're all bared, and he's coming at me, and it's the moment of truth. I could either do something smart, or I could do something really dumb, and I had to decide, and I pushed the gun back down. And the possum kept rushing at me. And when it got close enough, it realized I was there. I had blinded the poor thing with the spotlight, sort of like I am now. And it couldn't see me, but when it realized I was there, it ran off into the ditch on the side. And it was gone. And some other deputies caught the bad guy. He was hiding in a boathouse, and they got him. And my field training officer came back. He said I'd done well. I didn't tell him about the possum. But then later, I realized I'd actually done okay. I'd had to make a decision with what's I going to do with my gun? And I had made the right decision, and I felt good about that. I'd proved to myself, and I could prove to those other deputies that a fat old female could make good decisions and could be a good officer. Now, I was a reserve deputy for 3 years, and then I had foot surgery, and I gained weight, and I flunked defensive tactics, and I got canned. And that was okay because I left with my head high, I'd done well, and I felt good about it. It's 20 years later now, and sometimes that whole episode seems like a very strange dream, but I did learn something good about myself, and I'm glad I did it. Thank you.